Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Reading the papers these days about those in charge of government over in Raleigh taking shots at the university, threatening another series of budget cuts and tuition increases that could cut the legs out from under an asset that has served its state so well for more than 200 years. All this reminds me of two things. First, North Carolina's people and their legislature have been generous and smart in building a university system of higher education that have proved to be a key investment and helped North Carolina move forward on many fronts while its sister states struggled. But secondly, as much as the people and the legislature love the university, they cannot resist meddling and directing and micromanaging. Maybe the worst example of such meddling took place 50 years ago. And the money that the state is denying the university today, as short-sighted as that might be, is not nearly as great a threat as what it withheld 50 years ago. Back in 1963, the legislature passed the infamous speaker ban law. It happened with lightning quickness in the summer of 1963, when the legislature suspended all its rules designed to require careful study and deliberation of any proposed new law, scrapped that and enacted a law that quickly that forbade state university campuses from allowing speakers who were known communists or who had taken the Fifth Amendment. When President William Friday rushed to Raleigh to prevent the bill from passing, he was too late. And Senate President Clarence Stone patronizingly told Friday to go back to Chapel Hill and take care of the university like you're supposed to. All this is according to Bob Spearman, who is giving a talk on the speaker ban at Wilson Library next Thursday, and he'll be my guest on Who's Talking this weekend. Spearman, who grew up in Chapel Hill and now lives here, was a student body president at Carolina during these times. He tells how student activism and legal action led by his student body president successor Paul Dixon brought down the law and enshrined the concept of freedom of speech as a keystone of academic integrity and strength. A monument to that victory stands on a stone wall at the edge of the campus on Franklin Street, right across the street from the University Presbyterian Church. And each time I pass by, I remember that our precious freedoms and liberties are not free, and that sometimes we do have to fight for them, and that they are worth fighting for. This is D.G. Martin.